Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, March 10th, 2019.
The first reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. When you came into the land that the Lord your God has given you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and you shall put it in a basket. And you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you should go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite, and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 8b to 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. Being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread? And Jesus answered him, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If then you will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, It is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, It is said, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, my friends, what do you envision when you think of life in the wilderness? Towering trees with overarching limbs, luminous beams of sunlight breaking through thick leafy branches, babbling brooks with crystal clear waters, rolling hills and open meadows carpeted with emerald green grass. An oasis, a getaway, a refuge from the struggles of everyday life. Or is this what comes to mind? Barren and mountainous terrain, where the heat of day is as oppressive as it is inescapable, where the night is as cold as it is black, where only the howl of wild animals pierces the thick darkness. That, my friends, is the Judean wilderness, more comparable to a rocky wasteland than an oasis. And this is where Jesus would spend the opening days of his ministry on earth. This would be no restful sabbatical out in the woods amongst nature. Quite to the contrary, this would be war. Today's gospel account marks the opening salvo in a cosmic struggle when the Lord of darkness confronts the Lord of life. But the battle wasn't fought for flesh and blood, and it was not fought with conventional weaponry. The incarnate Son of God and the devil engaged in a war of words out in the wilderness. That's right. Words. And so the two faced off. The devil, a liar and the father of all lies, who can make us think that the loving thing is cruel, that the right thing is wrong, that the truth is a lie. The devil spins the facts. The devil's politically correct. The devil appeals to human vanity and self-esteem. And he is the master of all deception. And then there's Jesus Christ, our Lord, the truth incarnate, who says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. With Jesus, there is no spin. Jesus cares nothing about political correctness. Jesus tells it the way it is, like it or not. He knows that the truth does not always make us feel good about ourselves. And Jesus knows that love always tells the truth, even if some people don't want to hear it. In Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, we see God's power at work. But what do you think about when you think of power? Do you imagine well-trained armies, advanced weaponry, strategic superiority? You know what? All of that is nothing compared to the words we speak. Think about it. Words convince German voters to elect Adolf Hitler to lead their country. Words convinced a group of men to hijack airliners and fly them into buildings. Words have convinced men, women, and even children to strap on explosive vests and then detonate themselves in crowded areas. Words command thousands upon thousands of troops. Words launch warships and missiles. Words order assassinations. Words convince men and women that a cause is just, even if it's not. Words have power, more power than you and I can ever imagine. And from where does the devil derive his power? From the use and misuse of words. Did you know that the devil knows Holy Scripture better than any one of us does? And did you know that he twists the Word of God to lead people away from the truth of God's Word? Case in point, today's text. The liar takes the Scriptures. He omits one small word here and adds another there, until what is left accomplishes his devilish purpose. That purpose being to tempt you, to mislead you, to corrupt you, and ultimately to destroy you. Let's examine the pattern the devil uses. That first temptation is quite subtle. Turn a stone into a loaf of bread. So what's the big deal, right? We know that Jesus has the power to do this. He fed hundreds, thousands of hungry people with a few small loaves. And here's Jesus out in the wilderness for 40 days and he's hungry. So exactly what's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong. Bread is not the problem. The problem is a lack of faith. Jesus came to live in our place. He trusted in God to provide for him. We should trust God to give us all things as well. But the devil loves to sow those seeds of doubt. Do I have what I need? Do I have enough? Will I have enough? Has God forsaken me? What do you do then? Is that when you take matters into your own hands? Is that when you say, forget about God? Well, that's what the devil wanted Jesus to think. And that's what he wants you to think as well. Or could it be you think your faith is just too strong for that? Well, let's think about the people of Israel, shall we? Back in the Old Testament days, God led Israel out of Egypt. God led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. He gave them daily food called manna on the floor of the desert. He gave them water for 2 million people out of a rock. What did those people do? Did they thank God for his life-saving and generous provision? No. They listened to the words of the devil, and they complained against Moses and God. They didn't trust God to care for them in the wilderness. And many people say, come on, that's thousands and thousands of years ago. Right. And nothing's changed. At the first sign of any trouble, we're off to the races. We are ready to turn to this world for advice. We turn on the TV, we pick up the newspapers, we pick up the phone. We look at the internet. We trust the words of the world. We trust our own words. We trust the words of the devil. We don't trust the word of God. And that's when the devil steps up his game. He asked Jesus to worship him. Now, I know, why bother, right? Why does he bother asking? Jesus knows better. And certainly anyone with just a few grains of common sense knows that worshiping the devil is deadly. It's a dangerous and deadly game. But do you realize that your worship of anything, and I mean anything other than the one true God, is devil worship? Who do you love? What do you love? What are your priorities? Think about it. You can worship the devil without even knowing that you're worshiping him. And the devil offered the world to Jesus. He offers the word to you as well. He tells you, even if what you want goes completely against the word of God and his commandments, it's going to be fine. A loving God won't mind. He would not deny you of any of your earthly desires or those things, those pleasures you crave. Now let me ask you, is that what God says? Or is that what you want to hear? My friends, do you really want to put yourself in that place? Do you really want to judge the word of God? Don't you know that when you are arrogant enough to judge God's word, you are judging God himself? And that puts you right beside the devil. The devil says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. In that final temptation, the devil misquotes the word of God in an attempt, a vain attempt, to make Jesus do his deadly bidding. And the devil continues to do that every day. He wants to persuade you to trust in him and to do stupid and ungodly things that will lead to your own fall and demise and to eternal death. Thought about how, as a pastor, I could possibly apply this. Well, as a pastor, you know I do this quite often. I often ask people why they're not in church on a Sunday morning and why they don't attend one of our Bible studies. Some people actually tell me they know enough. They know it all. They attended Sunday school when they were kids. They know all about Noah's Ark and Jonah and the whale. They know all the stories. They attended confirmation class. They were confirmed. Don't worry, they tell me. My faith is fine. Well, I do worry. When anyone thinks they can decide what is enough, I worry. When someone tells God that he or she has got enough of him. Because that's really no different from telling him you don't need him anymore. And that concerns me. Because that is a spiritually poor and a faithless attitude. Do you know anyone like that? then you should be concerned too. But sadly, most sadly of all, none of us listen to the Word of God as we should. We too often allow the devil and the world and our sinful nature to pick those words of God we are willing to hear. We don't want to hear anything that disagrees with what we think or we feel. And we are all too ready to content ourselves with lies. The lies that fulfill our human desires but put our souls at risk. And so we come and we determine ourselves to hear what we want to hear instead of listening to what God wants us to hear. And for that, there are consequences. We deserve to die. We deserve to burn in hell. But gratefully, that's not what God desired for you. Now, this may be what we deserve, but God chose to place His Son upon that cross instead. And His Son bears the punishment for your selective hearing. His Son dies for your spiritual tone deafness. The Lord Jesus Christ, who unlike you and me, never fell prey to the lies of the devil, who never gave in to those temptations that the devil placed before Him. Unlike me and you, Jesus listened only to the voice of God, and to the voice of God He obeyed alone. And my friends, as I said at the beginning of the service, it is Lent. It is a season for repentance, for meditation, for thought. So be cautioned, fellow Christians, fellow sinners, because the devil continues to roar. Peter says he's out there prowling about like a lion, and that's an accurate description. He's trying really hard to get your attention. You see, he wants to take your soul. But what he speaks only the words of death. Don't listen to him. Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Do what God the Father commands you to do, and listen to him. Rely only on the Word of God and know the fullness of His infinite grace. And then, my friends, you and I can look together and look forward to an eternity in heaven with Him. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
To understand what God has willed, what God has planned, I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word and deed. Christ died to save me, this I read. Savior, then He will leave His place on high and come for sinful.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.